ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. We continue with the Fazail of the Quran, virtues of the Quran. Hadith number 36. Hazrat Ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, three people are such that they will have no fear of the horrors on the day of Qiyamah. Nor will they be questioned for their actions. They will walk happily on heels of musk until all the people are questioned. One is a person who learns the Quran seeking Allah's pleasure and then leads people in salah in such a way that they are pleased with him. The second person is one who invites people to salah for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. The third person is one who is very fair to his master as well as those who are under him. The punishment, horror and miseries of the day of Qiyamah are so great that a true Muslim does not forget about them. To be saved from these worries in any way on that day is a very great favor. Thus, those who will then be made to relax and enjoy themselves will be the lucky ones indeed. Complete ruin and loss is for those silly people who think that reading the Quran is useless and a waste of time. Hazrat Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Abu Zar, if you go in the morning and learn one ayah from the Quran of Allah, from the book of Allah, it will be better for you than reading 100 rakats of nafal salah. And if you learn one chapter of knowledge which may or may not be practiced on at that time, it will be better for you than reading 1,000 rakats of nafal salah. It is mentioned in many ahadith that learning the knowledge of deen is better than ibadah. There are so many ahadith on the rewards of learning that all cannot be mentioned here. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the greatness of an alim over an abid worshipper is like my greatness over the lowest amongst you. He also said that a single faqih, jurist, is harder against shaitan than 1,000 worshippers. Yesterday we learned about the adab of salam, the etiquettes of salam. Today we continue with the etiquettes of musafaha, shaking hands, and mu'anaqa, embracing. Number one, musafaha is the completion of salam. When a Muslim greets another Muslim, he says assalamu alaikum, and with that he gives his hand, and this is the completion of salam. Therefore, one should not make musafaha without salam. Musafaha can be made on arrival or on departure. To make musafaha on other occasions, example, after salah or after Eid salah or after nikah, have got no basis. Do not shake hands with a person when his hands are involved in such an act which necessitates him emptying his hands. On such occasions, salam simply is adequate. Similarly, if a person is hurrying along the road, do not stop him for handshaking and conversation. You might be holding him from something important. When arriving in a gathering, there is no need to make musafaha with every person present. Make musafaha with the person you intend to see. When making musafaha, the hands should not contain anything. Some people make musafaha with money in their hands. In this way, they present a gift. This is improper. Musafaha is a sunnah act, which is an act of ibadah, worship. It should not be corrupted with a worldly deed. When making musafaha, take into consideration the pleasure and comfort of the one with whom you intend to make musafaha. Do not adopt a method which will inconvenience him. At times, an alim or buzurg gives a lecture after which he is tired. People all desire to make musafaha with him. They should rather be considerate and look at his comfort instead of their own benefit. Many people, after making musafaha, kiss their hands or place it on their heart. This practice should be discontinued. Mu'anaqa, embracing, means for two people to bring their necks close to each other, which would also normally result in their chests to touch. Mu'anaqa is done to show respect and honor when welcoming a Muslim brother after a journey or when meeting him after a lengthy separation. When making mu'anaqa, embracing on one side will suffice. Mu'anaqa is not permissible if done out of lust and desire. If a person has to make mu'anaqa with his mother, mother-in-law, daughter or daughter-in-law, and lust is present, the results are disastrous. Marriages can dissolve because of this. For details, refer to ulama. Great caution needs to be exercised.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhi nastafa. Amma ba'du, faqad qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات صدق الله مولانا العظيم. To make our rozas, which are called rozas according to Sharia. One is how we look at things, and one is how Sharia look at things. For us, just keeping away from food and drink, our roza is done. And it will be done also according to Sharia. We had the niyat and we stayed away from the things that we had to stay away. But what Sharia wants us from is a roza that we keep of every part of the body. And ulama have written of six particular things that we should take care of. The basic roza is there, and that alhamdulillah everyone keeps, and there will be reward for that also, and great reward for that also. But everyone lacks perfection. Everyone likes to go up on the ladder. Nobody wants to stay where he is. So this is the greatest way where we should get perfection in our deen. That is the real place where we must get perfection. And this is the place where we must go up the ladder in deen. So may Allah Ta'ala let us understand this, and that urge come into us. Without the urge, nothing happens. When that urge comes into us, then a person progresses, and very easily he then progresses. So one was to keep roza of the tongue. We were discussing that. We must keep roza of the tongue. And that is, we stay away from permissible speech while keeping roza. Allah will save us from all haram things for the rest of the time. Permissible things that we have to, the roza of the tongue, we explained a few points. One was, as far as backbiting is concerned, which is very, very serious. And unfortunately, we don't take it as serious at all. Just as Maulana read now in the kitab, that the day of Qiyamah, the horrors of it, and how terrible it is. And Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali said that a Muslim can never be unmindful of it. But ask ourselves, do we ever think of it, that what those horrors are, how difficult it will be? And Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahimahumullah, should say that nobody has given us a guarantee on our iman, that our mort is going to come on iman. What a person's condition is now, what it can be the next moment, nobody can say. So we have to be always, but how much do we think of the horrors and the difficulties of the day of Qiyamah? One Sahabi, most probably it was Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, or Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His wife told, why don't you also ask if you also become an emir of a place, a governor, rule over a place, and then you'll get more of dunya, we'll live more comfortably. So he says, he heard from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a person who lives light in this world will be light on the day of Qiyamah. That and there is a valley to cross, which people who are light will only be able to cross this valley. And these were the Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala, how much they used to cry of the mention of the Akhirat, Qabr, etc. How much do we think? We are like just unmindful of all these things. Allah give us tawfiq to have this concern and this worry. So, roza, one is of backbiting, we will get saved if we keep our roza properly. The other we discussed a bit, what's lying, that is another very major guna. And also, very sadly, we don't even take it as a guna. In jokes, we lie also. One time, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullahi was here in Azad, And then he was leaving from the host place. He was going away. So as he was leaving, I made a little joke. So Hazrat also laughed. And then he said, what about the lie that's included in that joke? There is a lie also in there. And that is a major sin. And we don't even think it. Lot in our speech, in our talking, we lie also. And also we should, everyone, especially a businessman, is very careful of his losses. He's very careful of what he's spending, what's going out of his shop, what is going out from his till. He's very conscious. Everyone, if your account, you see some money went out, you don't know about it, you're not going to sit quiet and be happy and have a nice sleep. It can be a small amount, but you are worried. Where is this money gone? And our account of Akhirat, which is presented to us, that we should just check in it also, that what is our account. And we will see so much is going out, but we're just not worried about it. Okay, we are one side earning also. Or another example, we are filling up in a drum that has got a hole in it. And we're not worried of closing the hole. We are just filling more and more. And in our way, what we're thinking, we're filling. And there is a hole in there. Also, another example, our car, we need to take petrol, not diesel, petrol, 95. So we have to take that. And we then put diesel in the tank. And we are happy it's showing full gauge. The gauge is showing full. But with diesel, where are you going to go? Your car is going to stand still. It's not going to work at all. So are we filling in diesel or are we filling in petrol? Are we filling a tank that has got a hole at the bottom? And perhaps how many holes also? And also, our account, things are just going out. We are earning one side, and things are going out. We are lying, we are joking. Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali has written, according to the hadith, that there are many people who make tahajjud at night, who keep roza, but they get nothing of the roza for just staying hungry. And nothing of the tahajjud for just tiredness. And the reason, explanation Hazrat has given, that in the morning, for example, after tahajjud, perhaps whole night also, or how much part of the night, whatever. But in the morning, we started, we backbited, we lied to somebody, and all that what we earned is gone, lost. Now what we got of the tahajjud? But just being tired, that's all, no sawab. In fact, lene ko gaye, dene ko ho gaye. We went and collect, but we had to pay in. We are at bigger losses. So we have to be very, very careful of all these things, where we can be losing out and how we can be losing out. And we should hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu. Take an account of ourselves before our account will be taken. When we'll go in the qabr, then we will realize. But then it will be too late. And if Allah gives us a little knock, like one of our friends written, said that he made some mistake and he got a tap on the shoulder. Wake up. And then he made another mistake and he got a slap in the face. Things are going wrong. What's happening? Why is this happening? So we should take note of these things which are happening. And if we don't take note and we're just carrying on, it can be disastrous. Really, dunya is no real disaster. But the disaster is of our deen in dunya or in akhirat. May Allah protect us all. So, backbiting, lying, then idle talk, or just careless talk, that is also extremely dangerous. And all these things lead to things like, for example, swearing also, humiliating somebody, insulting somebody. All these things are very, very dangerous things. To hurt the feelings of somebody, to all this wrong speech, gossiping. Today gossip has become so common with the phone and with the groups. One message comes and everyone, almost immediately, without thinking, there's this person sent this comment, that person sent this comment. One good friend of ours, who is like that, a professional, but really he's a wali of Allah Ta'ala. He said he also went on to some group, but then almost immediately he took them off. He said, this person is writing, I'm going shams. Shab Guzari. Now what I got to do, he's going. This one is there, this person is writing this. There are advantages also. There are many good advantages if it's used correctly. But for every small thing, now it's all the time, everything is on the group. And then others are making, we inviting others. All other comments, this one giving that comment, that one giving this comment, and all these things. So today with the cell phone, yeah, in the itikaf, in the masjid, we have to be very careful. Today it's not only like there are sins that we have to come out of sins when we're making tawbah. And usually, which is mentioned also, and that was the normal talk, that after itikaf is our imtihan. When we go home, how are we going to treat the wife, the family, the people in the town? We think we have become big buzurs, but now that imtihan is right here. With the phone here, the whole world is around you. Everything is here. Now we have to see that how we are handling the phone. We can use it for good purposes also, but normally it is it's misused, misused. Mostly it is misused. Very few people can have that control on it, that we use it correctly. Anyway, we have to be very, very careful. So this leads to all these other things also. The tongue, the wrong use of the tongue. And so many warnings in the hadith about the use of the tongue. So the wrong use of the tongue, the misuse of the tongue. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. And this is connected with the ears also. The tongue is connected with the ears. Because what is haram to speak is haram to listen to also. So everything which is haram that we speak about, to hear that also is haram. To sing a song, musical tone, everything, all that, ash'ar, which are in the love of Allah, which is for islah, which is correct within the bounds of sharia, that is permitted without musical instruments, etc. And today again, in how many nasheed, there is a musical tone, and they claim that it is just a method of doing, it's not using musical instruments. But in all these things, we should look at the end result. The end result is a musical tone. How it has been made a musical tone, that is not the important thing. That what is the end result? Like photography, the end result, a photo is a photo. And it is made haram because it is a photo. Not how it's made, whether it's digital, whether it's hand-drawn, or whether it is done on a camera, or anything else. But the end result is a photo. And that is haram, the end result. So however it was made, so this musical tones on the nasheeds, etc. that we are getting, and lot of Allah make us, maaf, guide us, lot of qiraat of Quran Sharif also, and a musical tone is flowing with it also. All these things, Qasida Burda Sharif, mashallah, what a Qasida, in the praises of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But again, musical tones, they also have been brought in, lot of the qawwali. They are very good. Many of them, the poem, the subject itself is very good. It will enhance one spiritually, very good, the subject itself. But the way it is being presented and with all that tablas and all that which it is presented, how can this all be correct? So we have person has to be very careful of all these things. So all these other things with the ear. So what a person speaks with his tongue, what is haram to speak is haram to listen to also. So like that, our ghibat. To make ghibat with the tongue is haram. To listen to ghibat is also haram. You are an accomplice to the crime. And that is also not permitted at all. Clearly it is declared haram to listen to ghibat. That you are not speaking. You are in a gathering, in a group, you are talking. But you are not saying anything. But you are part of the guna. In the same way, I don't know what the ruling will be. We are in a group and somebody has backbited about somebody. Now it's coming to you also. Now you are in the group. You're going to read it, whether you respond or not. Like if we are sitting four or five people and we are eating, or anywhere else having tea, but somebody is backbiting. We are sitting there, we are part of the crime. And so on the group also, what the ruling will be, I don't know. Today the masail also have changed, things have changed, new masail have come up. But anyway, it is something to worry about. I'm aware of this now, must I now send a reply there, that causes again more problems. you reply there that no, it's not like this or something, and that person comes with more things again. So what do you do in that case? You keep it. You keep quiet. You are part of it. You are in the group also. Whether it's just a family group, whether it is a ulama group, whether it is whoever, whichever group, all these things, we get involved in all this. So all these things, a person has to be very, very careful. One time, I was at the Markaz in Nizamuddin, and Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib, Palanpuri, Rahmatullah Ali, after his morning bayan, he was in his room, and he had some sore just above the knee. And he had a lungi on, so his one khadim was putting some cream ointment on the sore. And then Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Khan Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, came in the room. So he said, what's happening? So he says that the saw, and he's just rubbing it. So Hazrat said, but it's not permissible. So he says he's doing it under the lungi, and he's not looking at this place. Satr is till knee, including the knee. And this was just a little above it. So he says it's covered. So he says what to look at is haram, to touch it is also haram. So even to touch there is also haram for another person. You do it yourself, they say permissible. You make your own istinja, everything is permissible. But for another person to touch it, who is not your mahram, like the wife, she can touch it. But your daughter also can't do it, your son can't do it also. Then you have to do it yourself, unless it becomes a real critical case. Then also the fatwa, you have to ask from the mufti, what do you do in such an instance? So what to speak is haram, to hear that also is haram. On the cell phone, what to see is haram, and what to hear, and now you are seeing it, but you are hearing now. Now you are not on the phone, but you are seeing the messages coming. That is also, if it's haram thing, that is also haram there. So we have to see, yeah, we are in i'tikaf, we also feel happy. I came for i'tikaf, and how many people have made what sacrifices? And just staying here is a sacrifice, and a big sacrifice also. But at the same time, are we not perhaps losing out also? We have to have that worry also. When we go home also, and everyone will say, mashallah, you stayed for i'tikaf, so mubarak, and it is. But let us see our balance sheet also. That at the end of the day, what deed are we earning or are we losing? So all these things, they have whatever is haram to speak or bring on our tongue. The ghibat, etc. And now it has changed form. Now it's on the cell phone. We are here in the i'tikaf. And we are getting all messages about things. And we are sending messages also. So we have to check that. So with the ear to listen. When we are sitting in a group, once we were with Haji Ahmad Nakhuda Sahib, Damat Barakatum, very many years ago, in the office of the Jamiatul Ulama in Delhi. Myself, Manana Abbas Ali was with, and Haji Sahib. Then somebody came and he started backbiting about, and who? Ulama will backbite about ulama. And that is so serious. And we will regard the ulama fraternity. These are above everything. These are soul above the farishtas they are. And they will backbite, and about ulama they will backbite normally. A businessman will backbite about another businessman. A businessman is jealous of another businessman. A doctor is jealous of another doctor. In your fraternity usually it goes. A rich man is jealous of another rich man. Illa mashallah. So yeah, the ulama, and the Shaykh also has written from their experience. He says our gatherings also are not free of this. Of course, Hazrat won't be involved. But so to backbite about ulama. So this person about the Jamiatul Ulama, he was on that side, and he's complaining about some other people. So Haji Ahmed Nakhuda Sahib, his iman is of that level. He told him, brother, stop. We shouldn't be speaking. He still didn't spoil. When a person also comes into that backbiting mood, then nothing can. Just like when lust hits a person, naar shahwat. Then very difficult, the young people, well, you try and explain them how you can see in their eyes, they just start into, they just one track, they just going to move in that direction. So hard to explain to them. There is dua, and one great dua which Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali should also show, Haji Ahmed Nakhuda stresses on it also, muraqabah dua. That is, you don't use your tongue at all. Just in your heart, you make dua from your heart. And perhaps outwardly, what I did use, Allah knows best, that when we're making dua with our tongue, then it's just the words perhaps. And if we're doing an ijtimai dua, it may be just to impress also. Allah knows everyone. But when you're doing from your heart and no one knows, it's between you and Allah. That dua has got great, great effect. So much so, I'll come back to this. Haji Ahmed explains, one of his khalifas in Cape Town, there was a lady who had become murtad, na'uzu billah, Allah save us all. And lot of people went. Ulama went to explain her, she wouldn't listen. Tabligh Jamaat people went, elders of the area went, but she just wouldn't listen. So this Maulana, he got worried also, so he went, and he went in a different way. When he went there, he said, Sister Kitty, I want to ask him to drink a cup of tea. So then, otherwise she was just apprehensive. Anyone like in distress or anything, I know why they came, and I'm not interested. So when he told this, it broke the ice completely. So she said, by all means come. When she went and made the tea, he made muraqabah dua. That, Ya Allah, you give her hidayat. It's only in your hands. I can't do anything. When she came with the tea, smiling. And she said that I saw a bird on top of my heart. It's gone in my heart now. The iman went into her heart. And she accepted Islam again. So this muraqabah dua, and Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali should particularly say for the present day fitnas which are taking place. TV, all now, today's cell phone, all the, TV is the old story. New things. And all the fitness of all the places in the world, what is not happening everywhere. You see, on that I remember, Ibrahim Bey just told me last night, that in London, there was a building on fire. And Muslim people, youngsters, when they came out of the masjid, they saved so many lives there. But this you won't get on the media. Or some other things, and those people said, the media doesn't talk about this. They came and they put their own lives in danger, and they saved so many lives. But this the media won't say that Muslims saved lives. So, on that I remember that once in America, there was an Arab, and there was a dog that attacked a young girl. So this person, Arab, Muslim, he went and he fought the dog. And he saved the girl's life. And he got the dog under control, everything. So a newspaper reporter was there. He saw this. And he came up to him. And he said, what a wonderful, heroic act you have done. You saved the girl's life. And you killed the dog or whatever that was. From where are you? So are you American? So he said, no, I'm not American. Then she asked something else. No. Who are you? Saudi Arabian. Headlines came. Saudi Arabian kills innocent American dog. completely opposite. Something like this. Old story. So this is a dose. Just don't give credit. Anyways. We were sitting in this person. Then Haji Ahmed, he got up himself. And he told us, you will also get up and come away. Now who is he going to speak to? He's alone. So now you'll have to keep. But where we got the cut? When we get involved like that, we justify it. There's more trouble will happen. I saw this happening at the Walima. I said, if I speak, big trouble going to happen. Or if I walk out, there are big, big problems going to happen. But these were those people, they just didn't care. When they get up and they just go away. What is more important, our iman or our family relations? We know very well, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when his son told him that in one of the battles, you were in my range. I could have killed you. And I spared you because you're my father. Allahu Akbar. The father said, if you were under my radar and in my control, and if I shouldn't have spared you. Blood relations, measure nothing. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's son, the value of iman. For this we need this continuous, I need it, we all need it, muzakara all the time. Iman is the superior thing. Brotherhood, Islamic brotherhood. So on basis, based on Islam, that we have our connection with one another. All these things are extremely important. So with the ear, whatever to speak is haram, to listen to is also haram. Now with the cell phone, whatever message to send is haram. To get such a message and entertain it. Yes, if we delete it immediately, a different thing. But if we entertain it, it is also equally haram. And with the cell phone, there are a lot of other masail also. Same in both ways, rules also, and problems also. A lot of new problems also have come with the cell phone. So we have to be very careful. Otherwise, in the etiquette, we can be involved in so much of guna, and we will be losing out tremendously. So Allah Ta'ala guide us and open our minds. And also, with regard, for example, the Quran Sharif, just the thought came that we might be reading a lot. But if we are not observing the rules, Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar al Hajjab rahmatullah alayh, he should go to the major centers where a lot of Quran Sharif should be read, and nobody liked it when he came. Before then, he should say, this is not correct. Then all are getting happy, and the people used to get upset with Maulana, that where you come from this, how much you know, and they read it. But he should say, it's not correct. So to the quality, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Not أَكْثَرُ عَمَلًا, it's not the quantity, but it is the حسن, the beauty in that. That is what Allah Ta'ala wants to see. And also, عَمَلًا. Like some brothers, we make announcement, Jamaat brothers, that Hamari Kamyabi Amal mein hai. So one person, person who loves dunya, he heard that Hamari Kamyabi Amal mein hai. That money must come, maal must come. So jitne paise aayenge, usme hamari kamyabi. How much more are we going to earn? So much more. So he said, this is a good Jamaat. That day you propagate, that more you must get money. So it's not amal. That is where our amal must come right. And it must be husne amal. Ahsana amala. There is not akthar, but husna. That is important. A person does less, but he does it properly. So we should keep that also in mind. May Allah give us all tawfiq.